Okay, we're starting the Sechus Baba Kama, Seder Nezik and Mazel Tov and Seder Nashim, everybody. And let's have a fresh new start, a totally new language. Each Masechta is a totally new language, but particularly Baba Kama, after coming from Nashim, is an entirely new language. As by way of introduction, even though I generally don't like to just say over what it already has in these Ma'oros Adaf Yomi sheets, because I assume probably almost everyone reads them, it's an excellent introduction to Masechus Baba Kama, and that is that we're going to be spending the next couple of months at least talking about nezikin, talking about damages and what you're chayev for when you damage, when your animal damages, when other property you have damages, and all the different ways that you do damage. So it's very clear in the Torah, in Pesukim in the Torah, that you chayev to pay money when you damage. What's not as clear, though, in any pasuk in the Torah, is that it's aser to cause damage. Meaning, is the fact that you have to pay money, does that necessarily indicate that it's actually aser to do, that it's an iser in the Torah to damage somebody else? So the very basis of everything we're going to discuss should be whether or not there's an iser to do all these things. Is there an iser to do damage? I mean, not every time you pay money does it necessarily involve an iser. A person has a firstborn boy and they pay money for pidyon haben. Is there an iser? No, there's no iser. It's just a chiyuv mamon. So not every time a person pays money is it necessarily an iser. However, the Gemara later on Daf Nun Aleph, is going to say, in the sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, is going to apply the concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira to sending someone to do hezek. You send someone to go dig a bar for you in a Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, the hezek doesn't relate back to the one who did the sending, rather it relates to the one who did the digging itself. Because Divrei Rav Divrei Talmud, it was an avera that he was sent to do. So therefore, he has no right to claim, well, I was just listening to what the guy told me. Ein shliach l'dvar avera, he's responsible for his own actions that are an avera. But what you see clearly from that Gemara is that it's called a maisa avera. Is that when someone goes and digs a bar, it's called a maisa avera. So obviously, being mazik is an avera. The question is, what's the avera? So the tour in Chol Shem Mishpat, Simon Shin Ayin Ches, says that just like stealing is aser, so too damaging is aser. But it doesn't really explain exactly what the basis of the iser is. So he collects over here, really it's just a translation of the first stipler on the first Kilis Yaakov on Maseches Baba Kama, who discusses this issue, four possibilities of what the iser is in being mazik. First possibility is lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. The Yad Ramah writes in Bab Basra that we know there's a pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So it stands to reason that if you're not allowed to put something in front of someone that may harm him, if the person happens to walk by that area, so then you're not allowed to be mazik directly either. Meaning, it's obviously, if you're not allowed to do something that might cause someone damage, so certainly you're not allowed to damage directly. So it's based on the iser of putting a stumbling block in front of the blind person. He doesn't quote this, but Rav Elchanan in the Kovit Shurim, he gives him Aramakum, he doesn't say what he says. Rav Elchanan in the Kovit Shurim in Siman Ayin Zayin, in Baba Basra, says that we know there's we've discussed many times in the past, a chakira of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, we know lifnei iver lo sitin michshol means you're not allowed to cause someone else to do an avera. We know it means you're not allowed to give bad advice. What about actually putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Is that lifnei iver lo sitin michshol? Meaning, do we apply the rule that ein mikra yotzi midei pshuto to lifnei iver lo sitin michshol? Do we say, well, pashut pshat of the pasuk has to also be true, and therefore it's a violation midoraisa of lifnei iver lo sitin michshol to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Or do we say, no, lifnei iver lo sitin michshol means don't cause someone to do an issur, don't give someone bad advice. Putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, it's not a nice thing, and it's probably a violation of some other issur, of yehavta l'recha kamocha or something, but it's not lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So Rav Elchanan's ha'ara just is that according to this Yad Ramah, it's very clear what the Yad Ramah holds. The Yad Ramah says, if you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person because it might cause damage, so certainly you're not allowed to damage directly. Obviously, very clearly, the Yad Ramah holds that it is to be taken in Kipshuto, that even Kipshuto, it's true that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Second possibility of where we know that there's an Isser to damage, also the Yad Ramah in Baba Basra says that the Isser may come from a mitzvah sasei of Yehavta L'recha Kamocha. Right? If you have to love someone like you love yourself, you wouldn't want to damage yourself, and therefore you can't damage other people. And the Stipler points out in the first piece in Kilis Yaakov, Baba Kama, that simple nafkamina between the two is, what if a person is a mazik, can he be an aid in the Beis Din? Because the halacha is, you're pasul aedus if you violate los ases. If you're known as someone who violates los ases, so you're pasul to be an aid. But if you violate mitzvah ases, then you're not pasul aid. So if it's a violation of lifnei v'lasitin michshal, that's a los sitin michshal, that's a los ases. But if it's only v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that's a violation of a mitzvah ases, and then l'chari you would be kasher to be an aid. Third possibility is Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos explains that that when you do hezek to somebody else, it's a violation of stealing. That stealing means causing any sort of monetary damage to someone else. That's part of the definition of stealing, is not just removing someone's property from his possession, but actually causing any sort of decrease in value to anything that belongs to the other person. And the final explanation, he quotes here from the Chelkas Yaakov and the Rashash and the Stipler, that it's based on the Isser of ignoring an Aveda, that you're not allowed to lusuch l'salim, that when you see an Aveda, you're not allowed to ignore it, you have to take care of it. Why are you not allowed to ignore it? Because something might happen to it. If I ignore it and I just leave it there, the guy is never going to find it, and by the time he finds it, it might be ruined. So what do I have to do when I take an Aveda? I have to actually take care of the Aveda. I'm not allowed to just take an Aveda and just know where it is and tell a guy where it is. That's not the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. It's it's partial mitzvah, but it's certainly not the full key mitzvah of Shavas Aveda to say, oh yeah, I saw your stuff, it was in the middle of the highway and cars were driving by 80 miles an hour, it might have been run over by now. That's not good enough. Shavas Aveda entails taking it, taking care of it, making sure nothing happens to it. So the logic is very simple. If there's a requirement to take care of it and make sure that nothing happens to it, so then kal v'chomer, there should be an iser to cause any sort of direct damage to it. So that's all part of Hashavas Aveda. That's the basic background to the iser of being mazik in the first place. Okay, so let's start learning the first Mishnah Masechet Baba Kama. Arba avos nezikin. There are four avos nezikin. Tosus in the top, Tosus tries to explain, why don't we say arba avos nezikin hain? A lot of times we use the word hain when we give a number. Sometimes we don't. So he has in the Gilion, in the first skinny line, v'im tomar ma'ikol lo ka'amar arba avos nezikin hain k'diktani dalid rosh hashanim hain. Right, we say dalid rosh hashanim hain. Why don't we say arba avos nezikin hain? So he says v'yeh shalomar. Maybe you can answer shalom ba'el lahagir arba avos halalu lo rizek. Meaning the point is not to list the avos nezikin. That's not the purpose over here. The purpose is to show why they're not like each other. So since the purpose is to show they're not like each other, when you use the word hain, when you just want to say, these are what they are, we want to give you the list. So that's when you would use the word hain. But when you just want to show that they're unlike each other, then you wouldn't use the word hain. He says, but he says, the difficulty with that is, though, that in the Gemara is going to be very clear that the Tana specifically chose these four to show these four and not 13, not 24, then the other deos in the Gemara of how many avos nezikin there really are. So it's going to be very clear that we chose these four. If the word hain is used whenever you're trying to give this number and showing the list, so then hain should belong over here, because although it's true, we're also showing why they're not like each other, we're also, the Tana definitely primarily intends on listing these four as opposed to all others. In the Gilion, he goes back to what Tosa said at the very beginning, the part that we didn't read, that yes, sometimes it says Hain, sometimes it doesn't say Hain. You can't really read too much into it. Sometimes it has it, sometimes it doesn't. So anyway, so Arba Avos Nezikin, there are four Avos Nezikin, there are four primary categories of damage. Hashor, Vabor, Vamava, Vahever. We're going to have to explain what each one goes as we go through the Gemara. The Shor is an ox that does damage. We'll explain the Gemara exactly how, what fits in the category of Shor, what the different types of Shor are. Bar is you dig a bar. Mava, we'll have to see in the Gemara the different opinions, what Mava might mean, whether it's Shein or whatever, so we'll get to it in the Gemara. And Hever is fire. So those are the four primary categories of damage. Now, why are they called Nezikin when someone damages something else? What's damaging something else is a mazik, right? So why isn't it arba avos mazikin? What's nizikin? So the Rishonim discussed this question. The Meiri writes that we quote that mazik inena chinami would be a little more accurate, but it gives the impression, the word gives the impression that you're talking about something that's kavanasa lahazik, that's intending to do damage. While that might be true for some of these, it's not true for all of them. And therefore, the word mazikin would be a little bit, would give a little bit of the wrong impression. Therefore, we use the word nizikin. The Rush says that the Tana is, it must be a Tana Yerushalmi. It's an Eretz Yisrael de Katana, and in their diktuk, the way they would use the Hebrew language, when someone is causes nezek, he's called a nazik, just like someone who does chesed is called a chassid. So he said grammatically in the Yerushalmi Tana would call it would call the one who does the damage a nazik rather than a mazik, and therefore it's arba avos nizikin. Okay. Anyway, the says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Vayter, lo harei ashor karei amave, lo harei amave karei ashor. A shor is different than mave, and mave is different than shor, meaning each one has its own unique qualities to it. If you look at Rashi, first of all, why do we put it in this order? Shor, then bar, then mava, then hever. So Rashi said on the second Rashi, Shor bar, k'seder shein k'suvim beparsha sidrun b'mishna, that we put it in the order that they're listed in the parsha, that they're listed in the Torah. The parsha rishona nemar b'shor shniya b'bar. The first parsha in the Torah is about shor. Second one is about bar. That's all it is. We're just putting it in the same order that it appears in the Torah. The Achronim in the back of the Gemara suggests a different reason for the order. The Poros Yosef in the back of the Gemara says, V'yesh lomar detani luhu lufi seder achiyuvim, meaning it could be that it's put in order of how much you're chayev for based on these avos nezikin. Toshar chayev ala kol, because shor is chayev on everything. V'alfagav detani shor l'raglum mikol makum nichol bo kol achiyuvim. Ubar patra ala kol, a bar, you're only going to be chayiv on live animals or people that were hurt in the bar. A kalim fall into the bar, you're not going to be chayiv. You're only going to be chayiv on a much smaller group, much smaller category. Then we mention mava and hever, which are more in between, meaning shor is the most broad ranging mazik in terms of your chiyuve mazik, and bar is the most narrow. So we go broadest to narrowest, and then to the ones in between. Where do we ever find such a thing that you go from the most chayiv to the least chayiv and then the ones in between? If anything, I would think if you can go in order of how much culpability there is, you should go in a direct order, right? You should go from most to least or least to most. So he says, no, you haven't bab metzia dav tzadi gimel, dalet shomrim. There are four levels of shomrim. Shomer chinam, shoel. And then we talk about Shomer Sachar and Socher. Why Shomer Chinam then Shoel? So Tosos is going to write in Davdalar and Beis that we listed Kiseder Chiyuvam. Shomer Chinam is Pater on almost everything. A Shoel is Chayiv on everything. And a Shomer Sachar and a Socher are somewhere in the middle. They're Chayiv B'mikzah. So sometimes we go in that order. From one extreme, other extreme, and then everything in the middle. So it could be that's why we have a Shor, then Bar, and then Mavehever, which falls somewhere in between. Good. So that's just a possibility. Anyway, so we said that they're different from each other. Shor is different than mave, and mave is different than shor. Now notice we're not going in order now. Now we listed shor then bar. But we start saying shor is different than mave, and mave is different than shor, not discussing bar over here. If you look at Rashi in the fourth skinny line, ulahachi nakat pereisha karea mave, v'lo nakatu keseder, lo harea shor karea bar. Why doesn't it say it in order? Why don't we point out the differences between shor and bar before we jump to mave? He says, "Mishum desulu avematzi l'misni lo zav zesheish ben ruachayim," because then we'd hit a dead end. Meaning, if we use shor and bar as our first two points of discussion, then we would not be able to say the next line of the Mishnah, which is, and these two, which have life to it, are different than the others. because bar does not have life to it. The habar ain bo ruach chayim. There is no life to a bar. Va'otai machrina the harabusa shminan. Tell me a chiddush. Afgav sheish l'shneim ruach chayim lo nafik chad michavrei. Could be that when you quickly glance at this list, shor bar mava hever, the first two things that jump out at you as being most similar are shor and mava, because they both relate to something that has ruach chayim, to a live being doing damage. So therefore, you might have automatically assumed just by reading the list, shor bar mava hever, that shor and mava aren't both necessary, that you can learn one from the other. So therefore, the Mishnah jumps in and says, no, they're different from each other. Now, interestingly, it doesn't explain how they're different from each other. It just says that they're different from each other. We'll need the Gemara for that. But if you look at Tosfos Lare Shor Karei Mava, Tosfos points out that this is different than most Lo Hareis in Shas. He says, Pirish Ein Kulaso Shel Shor Ki Kulaso Shel Mava. We mean that the Kula that you have by Shor is not the same Kula that you would have by Mava. The Gemara will explain, L'mandi Amar Tana Shor L'Karno U'Mav L'Shino, right? The Shita that holds that Shor means Keren, means goring, and Mava means, it also refers to an animal, but it talks about an animal doing damage with its teeth, Mishum Deshor Kavanasa L'Hazik, Umava ein kavanasa lahazik. A shor has kavana to damage, mava does not. Ulfichach chikas v'rachman a shor loasim mava minei. And that's why, had it only said shor, I would not have derived that there's a chiyuv by mava as well, because shor, as we said again, is kavanasa lahazik. So I would have said, yeah, you're only chayv by shor where it's kavanasa lahazik, but you're not going to be chayv by mava. Shu kal minei, because mava is more kal. And it's not like every other place in Shas where you have lo riza kariza. Over there, it means the chumra of one is not like the chumra of the other. And normally, it's used to say that the chumra must not be the cause of this din, of whatever din it might be. Whenever we say lo riza kariza, we're trying to say that hatzada shava shaban. We're always making a tzada shava. What does it mean to make a tzada shava? It means that if din A has a chiyuv, it's not because of the chumra shabo, because we see din B doesn't share that same chumra, and din B has a chiyuv. It's not because of the chumra shabo, because din A doesn't share that same chumra. Hatzara shavishba, they have certain things in common. It must be that common link that causes that chiyuv. So it's always about the chumra, not about the kula. Over here, it's about the kula. V'shina kanatam perusha mibshar makomos mishum dehizker achamer tchila below zevzeh sheish ben rachayim. Because we mentioned that which is chamer first, so we're trying to say that the kulas of one do not relate to the kulas of the others. Anyway, says the Mishnah Vayter, v'lo harei amav kareya v'lo zevzeh sheish ben rachayim kareya eish she'en bo ruachayim, and both of these that have ruachayim are different than Eish that does not have ruachayim. So Tosa asks over here, he says k'tzas kasha d'mashma da'un shin mamun min adin. The implication over here is, meaning, what's the Mishnah doing? Why does it have to tell me why they're all different from each other? Because the Mishnah is trying to tell me, otherwise I don't need the Torah to tell me about all four of them. Let the Torah tell me about one of them and I'll learn the rest. If, look, my shor does damage of chayv, obviously there's something called mazik, so obviously if I do damage of chayv, my fire does damage of chayv. Right? Why does the Torah have to tell me about all of them? So the Mishnah is trying to address that and trying to say, well, each one is different and I would not have been able to derive one from the other. But the implication is that if they weren't different, then the Torah wouldn't have to tell me all of them, would only have to tell me one of them, and I can derive on my own that if I'm chayiv when my shor does damage, then I'm chayiv to pay when my fire does damage. But don't we have a klal, ein onshin min adin? Ein onshin min adin means you can't take a kal v'chomer, we can't use a kal v'chomer to say that I'm going to get an onesh. You can use a kal v'chomer to teach me that something's aser. If this which is kal is aser, then for sure that which is more chomer than it, that which seems more severe, should be aser. But you can't use it to teach me a chiyuv, to teach me an onesh. Isn't paying money an onesh? So is there an issue of ein onshin min adin when it comes to mamonis? So Tosfos says it's mashma from here that onshin mamon min adin, that we would use a kal v'chomer to teach us an onesh mamon. That's why we have to show that there's no kal v'chomers to be derived over here, that each one has its own sadkula. Because if there were kal v'chomers, it wouldn't be necessary for the Torah to say it, and I would know that there's a chiyuv. I would know on my own that there's a chiyuv mamon based on the onesh, based on the kal v'chomer rather. And he says the problem is that the Medrash says not so. kolzen tani kiftach v'chiyach v'ma psich chayv al kri l'kolshkein alamdecha she'ein onshin mamun min adin. The Medrash seems to imply, the Mechilta seems to say, says explicitly that ein onshin min adin applies to mamun as well. The rule that you can't be you can't give an onish based on the Kal V'chomer applies to money as well. The Rashba suggests that the Mechilta is only talking about bar, that by bar ein onshin mamun min adin, because bar is a chiddush in the first place, because bar is not holich umazik, bar doesn't even belong to you, it's not shalom, you just dig in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah. So maybe it's dafka by bar that we would say ein onshin mamun min adin. But either way, what's the svara? Why would we say ein onshin min adin by mamun? Why would we not say ein onshin min adin by mamun? So what this really relates to is, why do we ever say ein onshin min adin? Why can't we give an onesh based on the Kal V'chomer? So the Achron was that Rav Yosef Engel has a piece in Lekach Tov where he discusses this, and the Prima Gadim and Ginas V'radim discusses this. And what it basically boils down to is three basic approaches as to why it is that you can't give an onesh based on the Kal V'chomer. Approach number one is probably the simplest approach, most balabatish approach, and that is that the Torah gave us Yud Gimel Midos HaTor and Dreshes Behen. One of them is Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer was given by the Ribbono Shlom as a methodology of learning Torah to teach us halachos, not to teach us onshim. It's just the way that the Kal V'chomer was given. Kal V'chomer is limited in the sense that it was not given to us to teach us onshim, period. Meaning, if Kal V'chomer were purely about logic, and just applying logic, which Kal V'chomer is by far the most logical of the Yilgim Mizush HaTor and Dreshes Behen, but just the fact that it's logical alone wouldn't be enough to allow us to use it. Right, if we're purely about logic, then in a chanami we can learn onesh from it as well. We're allowed to use Kal V'chomer because we have a mesora that we're allowed to use Kal V'chomer. That Kal V'chomer is a methodology, proper methodology of deriving halachos and Torah. But that mesora is limited to halachos, not onshim. So that's approach number one. Approach number two is that anytime you have a Kal V'chomer, by definition, since it's based on logic, if your logic is faulty, your Kal V'chomer is faulty. So it seems logical, it seems right, but there might be a pircha out there. You learned with a chavrusa, he didn't point out the pircha, he didn't point out the flaw in your logic, he missed it. Maybe if you learned with a different chavrusa, he would have pointed out the flaw in your logic. Maybe in your generation, there's no one who's able to point out the flaw in your logic, but someone else is going to come up with a different flaw, with some sort of pircha on your Kal V'chomer. Since there's always the risk by a Kal V'chomer that there will be a pircha on the Kal V'chomer, so we don't want to give onshin based on it, because then we might give an onesh, we'll kill somebody, and next thing you know, there's a pircha on the Kal V'chomer, the Kal V'chomer was wrong, the din was wrong the whole time. So that's the second svar for ein onshin min adin. Third svar of ein onshin min adin is that Kal V'chomer says, if this is true, the din kal is true, then for sure the din chomer should also be true. The thing is, the chomer might be more chomer than din kal. I mean, if you're going to tell me, halacha A, which is more kal, I'm chayiv malchus, so then I should for sure be chayiv malchus for halacha B, which is more chomer. If I'm chayiv malchus for hitting somebody, so I should be chayiv malchus, kal v'chomer, I should be chayiv malchus for killing somebody. But wait a second, when you kill somebody, you need a lot more than malchus. Right? Meaning when you're applying Kal V'chomer, by definition, one of the issues is more chomer than the other. If that's the case, the onesh might not suffice. Onesh means that an onesh isn't stam, we like to hurt people. An onesh is there for a reason, it's to serve as a kapara. So the onesh will only serve as a kapara if it's the proper measure. But if the onesh is not enough, then it's not going to serve as a kapara. So then we're just beating the guy up for no reason. If the guy might be chayv something more, the onesh might not suffice. So that's the third reason for ein onesh min adin. How many of these apply to mamon? So in terms of the onesh not sufficing, in terms of a kapara, there's nothing to do with mamon. Mamon is to reimburse the person for what he lost. So it's not an issue of whether it suffices for kapara, doesn't suffice for kapara. According to that, we should say onshin mamon min adin, that you should apply mamon min adin. In terms of that, there might be a pircha on the Kal V'chomer. So that's where you're going to say the other way. It might be a pircha on the Kal V'chomer, I shouldn't make the guy pay money if there might turn out to be a pircha on the Kal V'chomer and the whole Kal V'chomer will be faulty. So I should limit it to Isser V'heter without making anyone pay money. In terms of the fact that Kal v'chomer was given to derive halachos and not onesh, so it could be argued it was given to that mamun is not an onesh. Mamun again is just reimbursing a loss. It's not necessarily an onesh in the classical sense, and therefore maybe you could argue that onshin mamun min adin. All right, that's the discussion in the Akronim. There are other the Prima Gadim points out there are other nafkaminas in terms of what the reason is for ein onshin min adin. What does he say? Another nafkamina would be if would you say ein onshin min adin? I think we've discussed this in the past. I don't remember where. By a memetzinu, right? We just had this whole conversation about a kal v'chomer. What about a memetzinu? Would you say ein onshin min adin by a memetzinu? So again, if the issue is that there might be a pirch on the kal v'chomer, so then you wouldn't say ein onshin min adin by a memetzinu. But then you might have a pirch on the memetzinu also. So you would have the same idea of ein onshin min adin. But if it's that we're worried that since it's more chomer, it might not suffice. So by a memetzinu, it would suffice because we're comparing two very similar things. Okay, anyway, let's go weiter. And bor is different than shor and mava because shor and mava go and do damage, whereas bor does not go and do damage. What do they have in common? That it's the derech to do damage, and you're responsible for watching it. And when it does damage, chava mazik, the one who's mazik is chayv to pay l'shalim tashlumei nezek b'meitavaretz. He has to pay for the damages from his idis, from the best of his stuff. He has to pay for the damages. That's what they have in common. Okay, says the Gemara, Mitktani Avos Mechal Dika Toldos. The word Avos implies that there are Toldos. Otherwise, the word Avos would not be used unless there were something that comes out of what makes you an Av, the fact that you have a child. Right? So what makes something Avos? Only if there are Toldos of the Av. So, Frek the Gemara, Toldos Ein Kiyotzeven, Olav Kiyotzeven. This is the Shaila of today's Daf. Right? Are the Toldos like the Av, or are the Toldos not like the Av? The Teferis Shmuel, one of the Achronim in the back, asks that you have to say that the Toldosein are Kiyotze Behen, because if it's not, if they were not Kiyotze Behen, then we wouldn't be able to ask, write one of them and learn from the others. Because meaning, what's the what did the Mishnah just do? Told us why the Torah needs to write all four of them. Meaning, otherwise we could ask, let it just write one of the Avos, and I'll derive the other three from it. But then the other three would have been told us. But if that would have changed the halacha, if told us are not like the Av, told us have a different halacha than the Av, then it would have changed. That's why the Torah needs to write it. So that's his kasha. He works on that kasha. It's a pretty strong kasha. Anyway, so are the toldos of Nezikin like the avos of Nezikin? Gabi Shabbos. So let's see, where else do we have toldos and avos? So the Gemara is going to find two other places in Shas where we have avos and toldos and say, well, let's see, are the toldos in those other places like the avos or not? And we'll use that as a measuring stick and we'll figure out based on that whether the toldos here are like the avos or not. So the Gemara says, well, where's the most famous place where we have avos? Gabe Shabbos Tanan, Avos Melachos Abraham Chasar Achas. We know by Shabbos there are 39 Avos Melachos. Avos Mechaldika Toldos, Toldos Sein, Kiyotze Behen. And the word Avos implies that there are Toldos, and in fact the Toldos are like the Avos. Loshna Av Chatos, Loshna Tolda Chatos. If you do an Av Melach on Shabbos Peshogeg, Yichayv Akarman Chatos. You do a Tolda on Shabbos Peshogeg, Yichayv Akarman Chatos. Same thing. Loshna Av Skila, Loshna Tolda Skila. You do an Av Melach on Shabbos Bemezid, Yichayv Skila. You do a tolda on Shabbos b'mezid yirchayev skila. Again, same thing. So ma'yika be'nav l'tolda. But wait a second. If they're mamish, the same. So then, what difference does it make whether something's an av or a tolda? Meaning, is there no difference whatsoever whether something's an av or a tolda? Is there no nafkamina to something being an av or a tolda? He says no. There is a nafkamina. Nafkamina. Dilu avit shtei avos ba'de adadi, inami shtei toldos ba'de adadi, mechayva kalchada v'chada. If you violate two separate avos melachos and Shabbos, or you violate two separate toldos, so you chayv twice. Let's say I did two avos melachos b'shogig on Shabbos, so you got to bring two karbonos chatas. V'ilu avit av v'tolda didei, lo mechayva l'chada. But if a person does an av and it's tolda, two separate actions, an av and it's tolda, on Shabbos, you're only chayv one carbon chatas. Right? It says Rashi lo mechayv elchada av melacha avala tolda didei lo mechayv. You're only chayv on the av melacha, but you're not chayv on its tolda. Now, why does Rashi have to say that? Maybe I'm only chayv on the tolda, not the av. I mean, what difference is it? The point is, I'm only chayv one. L'may nafkamina, which one it is? granted, it's logical that the one I'm chayiv for is the av. But what nafkamina would there be? Which one I'm actually chayiv for? So again, this achron, I don't know who it is, the Tefer Shmuel in the back of the Gemara says the nafkamina is. I was in the dentist's office yesterday. I only had my Gemara. I didn't have my other svarim, so I was reading all the achronim in the back. So the Tefer Shmuel in the back of the Gemara says that the nafkamina is if a person forgot that he violated the av. And he brought a carbon chatas on the tolda, so does he now need to bring another carbon chatas for the av? So if the real chiyuv is for the av, so yeah, he should bring carbon chatas for the av because he hasn't brought one for the av. But if he had forgotten that he had violated a tolda and he brought one for the av, well, the carbon chatas that he brought for the av covered the tolda already. So when he remembers that he did the tolda, he's not going to be chayiv because there was no chiyuv on the tolda. That's enough kamina to know which one you're actually chayiv for if you forget one of them. Okay, anyway, what's the whole reason we have a category of av and tolda by Shabbos is if you violate an av and it's tolda, you're only chayiv once. That works great if you assume that that's true. But according to Rabbi Lazar, that you're chayiv for a tolda even when you violated its av, then what's the nafkamina? Why do we call something an av? And why do we call something a tolda? So before we get to the Gemara's answer, Tos says, I have an answer. Why doesn't the Gemara answer? In the name of the nafkamina li'inyin hasra'a, shatzarech lahasos ha-tolda, mishum avdida, k'damrin b'perek tolin, mishamr mishum mai masun bei rabar mishum barra b'zera mishum rakeid. Why don't we say that the nafkamina is that when you give hasra'a, you're supposed to give hasra'a by the av malacha? So if I see someone about to violate a tolda, I need to know what it's a tolda of so that I can give him the proper hasra by the av malacha. How do you know that you have to give hasra by the av malacha? This Gemara in Shabbos Kof Lamed Ches. It says when someone is doing mishamer, do you say, don't do that, it's borer? Or do you say, don't do that, it's merakeid? You need to know which av malacha he's about to violate. So says Tosso, so shouldn't that be a good nafkamina? Says Tosso, Yeshlom Adahachi Parach, Mishum Mai Masrin Bei, Shehu Chayiv, Rabba Amr Mishum Bor Rav, Hishrobo Mishum Rakit Potter, Tekim Shum Masrin Bei, Shein Doma, Sofer Shem Malu Bo Potter, Av Mishrobo Amr Alt Shamar Chayiv. Meaning, says Tosso, there's no din that you have to give a hasra'a based on the Av Malacha that's about to be violated. There's no such halacha. You have to give hasra'a, don't do what you're about to do, because what you're about to do is a violation of Shabbos. The only reason the Gemara over there says that you need to know the Av Malacha is because if you give Hasra for the wrong Av Malacha, if a guy is about to violate a Tolda of Borer, and you tell him, don't do that, it's Bishul! The guy's going to say, what are you talking about? This isn't Bishul. He's going to think you're mocking him and you're just making a joke. So he's not going to take it as a serious Hasra. That's all the Gemara is saying. If a guy's about to do Borer, don't tell him, don't do that, it's Merakid, because it's not Merakid, it's Borer. If it's Merakid, don't tell him it's Borer. That's the only thing. You can't tell him the wrong Av. But you don't actually have to tell him the Av Malacha that he's about to violate. If it's a Tolda, it's a Tolda. So tell him, don't do what you're about to do, because that's a violation of Shabbos. You don't have to tell him exactly what Av Malacha it is. So Tosa says, that's why it's not a good nafkamina, because it's not true. You don't need to associate it with any given Av Malacha. V'odi Yishlomo says, Tosa zeu shematarets. So he says it could be that that's Taka the Gemara's answer that we're about to say. We'll see in a second. And va'od, a third possibility, denoteum vashal ein sar chasos mishum av v'mhisru mishum atol dechayev afilu achi chashu leperiklal gadol, that there are certain things that you don't have to be give hasra for the av, and if you give hasra for the toldu you chayev. So anyway, let's see the Gemara. What's the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between av and toldu if you assume that you are chayev separately for violating an av and its tolda? So answers Gemara, hachtav v'mishkan that which is in the Mishkan and Chashuv we call an Av, and that which was not Chashuv and in the Mishkan we call a Tolda. So what's the definition? An Av is something that was both Chashuv and in the Mishkan, and a Tolda is something that was neither Chashuv nor in the Mishkan, or was in the Mishkan and not Chashuv, or is Chashuv and not in the Mishkan. Right? How do we define a Tolda? What if you have, are these two separate qualities we're describing, being chashuv and being in the Mishkan? So this is the struggle of the bottom Tosos, right? Tosos says, "Lufi hach girsa, according to our girsa, bala afuke kama malachos shelo hayu chashuvin v'hayu b'mishkan to toldos ninu v'lo avos malachos." So Tosos is saying that what's an av? Something that was both in the Mishkan and chashuv. What's a tolda? A tolda might be something that was in the Mishkan but wasn't chashuv. So it sounds like the Achronim deal with the issue, what if it was Chashuv and it wasn't in the Mishkan? So can that count as an Av? So Tfer Shmuel, again, in the back of the Gemara, points out, it's hard to say that that would count as Nav, because, actually, it might be the Rashash, someone asked in the back of the Gemara. No, Tfer Shmuel in the back of the Gemara says, hard to say that that would count as Nav, because you don't find any Avos that actually weren't in the Mishkan. They all were in the Mishkan. So you'd have to say that that being in the Mishkan is a prerequisite for everything. Anyway, Tosus quotes an alternative gear, so the next line, the Istigarsi Hachtav Mishkan Vichashiva Karila Av, Hachtalov Mishkan Vilo Khashiva Karila Tolda. Ulfigirs Zutzar Klomer de Baitarti, Aval Khashiva Vlav Mishkan Uipcha Havitolda. So he says according to that gear, so for an Av it needs to be both in the Mishkan and Chashuv, but if it were Chashuv and not in the Mishkan, or in the Mishkan and not Chashuv, then it would only be a Tolda. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. So that's in terms of Avos Malachos of Shabbos. So by Avos Malachos of Shabbos, Tolda same Keotze Ben. We're still trying to figure out, by Nezikin, do we say Tolda same Keotze Ben or not? By Avos Malachos of Shabbos, yes. Where else do we have Avos and Toldos? It's not Avos HaTumah, we have Avos HaTumos. Hasheret, Vashechazera, the Tamimes. Tamimes isn't a mace himself. Tamimes is someone who became Tame from the mace. The mace himself is an Avi Avos HaTumah. We're looking for an Av HaTumah. An Av HaTumah is someone who became Tame from the mace. Toldosei and Lav Kayosiben. The thing is, by Tumah, it's Toldosei and Lav Kayosiben. The Toldos are different than the Avos. Dilu Av Metame Adam Mekalim, because an Av can be Metame Adam Mekalim, Vilu Toldos Ochlam Mashkin Metame Adam Mekalim, Lam Metame. Because the Toldos, a Rishon Natumah, can only be Metame Ochlam Mashkin, cannot be Metame Adam Mekalim. So you see that the Rishon Natum, which is the Toldos of Tuma, are different than the Avos HaTuma. Says Tosos, not really, not always. Tame Meis will turn a Kli Mateches into a Cherev Hareyu Kucholol. So it will turn a Kli Matech. Normally, when you deal with Tuma, it goes down a step. Right, when an Av touches something, that something becomes a Rishon. The Rishon is B'tamei something else, that something becomes a Shein. Normally it goes down a step, but there's one exception. Cherev Hareyu Kechalal. Right, Cherev Hareyu Kechalal is if a metal object touches a dead body, the metal object has the same din as the Chalal. Cherev, the sword, Hareyu Kechalal is like the Chalal itself, it's like the dead body itself. So you see that even though it's a Tolda of the original source of Tumah, still, it's like the original source of Tumah. It has all the chumras of the original source of Tumah. So it says, tells us, nah, it's not exactly like a mace, because if that sword then touches another metal object, it doesn't make another cherev harei kachalal. So since it can't make another cherev harei kachalal, so the told is not exactly like the av. Okay, good. So anyway, says the Gemara, now that we've established that Avos of Shabbos are like, the Toldos of Shabbos are like the Avos, and the Toldos of Tumah are not like the Avos, so Hachamai, what about by Nezikin? So Rav Papa, Yesh Men Keel Zeben, Yesh Men Lav Keel Zeben. Rav Papa says, yep, Yesh V'Yesh, sometimes it's like it, sometimes it's not like it, sometimes the Toldos are just like the Avos, sometimes they're not. Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa, Gimel Avos Nemru B'Shar, and we're going to demonstrate right now, Toldos points out, this Tan Rabbanan, Hifsik B'Braisa Zul, the Farish Toldosei and Lav Keel Zeben, the Kamer of Papa Hey. Right, this braisa is meant to introduce a discussion which is going to lead us to explain what Rav Papa meant when he said that Toldosei Lav Kayotzeben by Nezikin. Where do we have Toldos of Nezikin that are not Kayotzeben? So the braisa says as follows, Gimel Avos Namru Bashar. Shar actually includes three Avos Nezikin. It's listed as one in the Mishnah, but it's actually three. Hakeren, Vashain, Vaharegel. An animal goring, an animal eating something, an animal walking on something. Keren minalan, where do I know the din of Keren? The Tan Rabban Kiyigach. Pasuk says Kiyigach, right? Pasuk says Kiyigach Shor is Ish, Shor es Ish, O es Ish of a Mesa, Kol Yisakel Shor, right? So Pasuk talks about goring. Ein Negicha Ela B'Keren. Negicha by definition means with the horns. How do I know that? Shenemar Vayaso Tzidkio Ben Kenana Karnei Barzel Vayomer Koamar Hashem Be'ela Tinagach Es Aram. Where did it say Be'ela? Takes a Keren, a horn, and says Be'ela Tinagach Es Aram. So you see that Negicha is done with a Keren. Va'omer B'chor Shoro Hadrolo V'Karnei Re'im Karnav Bahem Amim Yinagach. We're talking about Karnei Re'im Karnav, and we say we're going to be Menageach. We're going to do Negicha with this. So my Va'omer, what's the Va'omer? Why do we need a second pasuk? Didn't the first pasuk already demonstrate a link between Keren and Negicha? The Chitem or Divrei Torah Divrei Kabbalah Yalfinan. Unless you say, well, the first pasuk didn't suffice because it was a pasuk in Navi, and we need a pasuk in Chumash. Tashma b'char shoro hadrlo. That's why I have the second pasuk. Maybe that's why I need the second pasuk. Says Gemara, no. V'hayim melefu kilim el sabalmu dinigich b'karenu. This isn't deriving a halacha from Navi. This is defining a term based on the usage of the word in Navi. That's totally mutter. You're allowed to define a term based on the usage of the word in Navi. Martz Chayes over here points out that this is a major kasha on Rashi himself in Daf Vav, where Rashi says that when we try to figure out chippus from neros, bedikas chametz has to be dafka done with a ner. Rashi points out that it's got to be din drabbanon because we're using psukim in Navi over there to learn it out. Says Martz Chayes, no, we're just defining a term. We're defining what the word chippus means, what the word bodek means. We're just defining a term. So lechora, it doesn't have to be a din drabbanon just because it's learned from Navi. From Navi, you're allowed to learn on a daraisa level the definition of terminology in the chumash. So when the Torah says ki yigach shar, Navi tells me negicha means keren. That's totally fine. So now we need to go back to why do I need both psukim? So elamal detema ki polygraph mana bein tam lemuad hani milibitlusha of mchaveres ema kulem muadasi. So now I might have thought that when does the Torah distinguish between the tam and the muad? That's only with a horn that's not attached, because the first pasuk is about tzidkiyo holding up a horn saying beela tinaga chazaram. So that's a detached horn; it's not attached to an animal. Av mchaveres ema kulem muadasi. But if it's mechuber to the animal, I might think the animal's always a muad to begin with, and would always have to pay nezek. So Tashma b'char sharo hadala. That's why we have the second pasuk. Tolda de keren mahi. What's the tolda of keren? Negifa, neshicha, revitza, uveita. A tolda of keren is any of these things. If you put, the animal pushes with its body, it bites, it tramples on something, or it kicks something. So maisha negicha de keren. Tramples on something doesn't mean regel. Regel is it just happens to be walking in steps or something. Tramples on something means it sees something and pounces on it, wants to jump on it. So maisha negicha de keren la'av de ksiv ki yigach, negifa nami ksiv ki yigof. Why do we call negicha an av? Because it says kiyigach. Negifa also says kiyigof. So shouldn't negifa be the av rather than negicha? So hai negifa negicha he says Gemara. Yeah, but when the Torah says negifa, the Torah really means negicha. The Torah, when it uses the word kiyigof, it doesn't mean you push with your body. The Torah actually, when it uses the term, means the animal gores with the horn. D'tanya pasach bin negifa v'siim bin negicha lomel chazui negifa v'zui negicha. That's what the Brisa tells me, that the same pasach starts out using the word negifa and then switches into negicha to tell me that it's one and the same in the way the Torah uses the terms. Maishna gabe adam d'chsiv kiyigach maishna gabe behemah d'chsiv. Why then, when describing what an animal does to a human being, does it use the word negicha? If they both mean hitting with the horns, so why, when describing the damage done to a human being, does it use the word negicha? And when describing what the animal does to another animal, use the word negifa? So Adam, this same mazal ki yigach. Behemah does same mazal ksiv ki yigof. Since a person has mazal, we use the word yigach. But when an animal doesn't have mazal, we use a less strong term of yigof. Rashi says that what does it mean that a person has mazal? That he has da to protect himself. So it takes a lot more for an animal to hurt a person, because the person has a little more das to be able to protect himself from the animal. That's why he uses a stronger term of yigach when describing hurting a person. And then Rashi has another Lishna Achrina, Isle Mazal ve'inu noach la'amiso b'negifa di d'chifas keren ma'at. That another thing that Isle Mazal might mean, because the Gilin Ashas points out, Rav Kivegel points out that to look in Chulin Kuflam and Zayin over here, and Shabbos Dafnun Gimel, about what Mazal means. So in Shabbos Dafnun Gimel, Mazal means the Malach Shalo Umelitzalav, a Malach that protects a person. Since a person has a little extra protection from above, and Tosfos says to the extent that even if a person is a treifa, he's not necessarily going to die within 12 months like an animal would, because he has a little extra mazel, he has a little extra protection, he has a malach that's there to protect him. So therefore, it's more difficult to kill a person, and that's why it uses the stronger term of negicha when it describes a person. When the Torah happens to teach me, if an animal has killed people, then you can bet it can kill another animal as well, because it's much more difficult to kill a human being. Just because an animal is a muad to kill other animals, not necessarily muad to kill a person. because it's a lot more difficult to kill a human being. How does an animal ever become a mu'ad la'adam? Doesn't it get killed the first time it kills a person? Okay, so we didn't have a dintara yet, so and it killed another person before it had a dintara, another two people. Neshicha told of the sheni. Frankly, Gemara, neshicha, biting, shouldn't that be a told of shein? Why is that a told of keren? So says Gemara, lo, shein yesh anal azeka, ha in anal azeka. Shein means something that the animal gets pleasure out of doing. When it bites something, it doesn't get pleasure, it's biting to hurt. Revitu bita told the regali, isn't trampling and kicking a told of regel? Lo, regel azeka matzoi, hani en azeka matzoi. Regel means something that's common. The animal doesn't kick and trample on things commonly, it might walk on things commonly. El told the same, laf kiyotsu ben dam raf. So again, so all these cases are Toldosean being Kayotziben. So the Gemara just uses these three and now is going to say, so what was Rav Papa talking about when he said Toldosean lav Kayotziben? So I guess we'll pick up with that tomorrow. What did Rav Papa mean when he said by Nezikin sometimes Toldosean lav Kayotziben?